Blog Talk Radio.
Fly high on the
Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to your Inner Healers Blog Talk Radio, an online place for sharing topics that can help us connect with our inner self. Inner Healers is a worldwide community of people, including you and me, people who believe healing comes from the inside, as well as all the answers needed to live a happy, healthy life. As part of the natural growth resulting from our individual experiences, we now have an online space where to share and guide each other into connecting through emotions with our natural inner state of absolute health. Once a week, we will have different people chatting with us on specific issues. If you'd like to participate, you can call in 347-826-9216 during the last 15 minutes of the show, or write in our chat live window any questions or comments you would like us to include. This show is about you and for you, so feel free to join. My name is Luciana Stiglic. I'm an integrative healer based in Peru who started this concept in Lima, and I will be your host tonight. As some of you know, I offer guidance and healing sessions through both personal and group consultations, and have a personal blog called Scatter Daily Notes, in which I share comments and conclusions as overall guidance in a regular basis. For personal consultations through Skype, you can write to me at contact@innerhealers.com. Many people have already improved their lives by sharing with us, for in sharing, we grow. We hope you can enjoy this opportunity and share it with those you love. You can listen to our previous shows under the on-demand list here, and you can also contact us through Facebook, Twitter, spiritual networks, YouTube, and live stream. We are here to help each other in experiencing happiness. We hope you enjoy the show tonight. On this fourth show on forgiveness, our guest is renowned master teacher Tony Petrinovich. With over 40 years experience in leading people to connect with their inner core, she's a Reiki Master Healer, Reconnective Healing Certified Practitioner, quantum physics researcher, and member of the Metaphysical Doctors Association, the Heart Math Institute, the Institute of Noetic Sciences, Companion of the Child as well, licensed investigator with the Institute of Technical Energy Medicine, teaching partner with the AwakeNet, and senior soul recognition, facilitator and instructor with Soul Support System, clairvoyant, clairaudient, and kinesthetically aware of the invisible world, assists others to access these dimensions also, teaching people the value of absolute forgiveness through the ritual of absolution. She offers transcendent initiations through the power of presence of your essence and angel fire transmissions, as well as readings from whole light beings, which we call light orbs. Author of the call, Awakening the Angelic Human in You, Tony and I will chat online on the absolute of forgiveness, leading us through her very special personal ritual of absolution. Be sure to bring that which you need to forgive tonight. Hello, Tony.
Hi, Luciana, how are you? It's so good to be
Hi,
here.
Hi, Tony. It's really an honor. It's a great pleasure to have you here. How are you feeling today?
Oh, I'm wonderful. I'm excited. I've spent today working on one of my MetaU classes, and I always get so excited when I'm putting things together and knowing that people are going to be able to avail themselves of my services and get to really know that they are God in form and that nothing holds them back from expressing completely and fully everything that they are.
Yes, this is a very special opportunity for us all. So I was wondering if we could start by maybe asking you if you could tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you start working on forgiveness?
Well, I feel that I came into this world, like sometimes think of myself in the space between lives, you know, sitting up there in the ethers, if we want to look at it that way, if you want to paint a picture for yourself, and being with my group soul and my teachers and my guides, and one of them saying, you know, you could go to Earth and you could teach absolution, but to do that, you're going to have to go through a whole bunch of experiences to make you really want to absolve people. And I say, oh, no problem, one hand tied behind my back, let's go do this. And so I jump into the birth canal and I get here and I go, oh, whoops, what did I say?
I hear you.
And I've had a life that has led me to know that I had two ways to look at it. I could either look at it as all of these things happened to me in my life that were not fun and not comfortable, and this person did this and that person did that, from the time I was raised to being married to different coworkers to positions I held in the world, etc. Or I could say, oh, wow, look at these really great teachers. They took the role of being, you know, either the betrayer or the liar or whatever it was, and I get to learn how to absolve them because they're playing the role that we agreed to play.
Yes.
So I decided to do that. And I found out not only does it free you, you're also having fun because you're not carrying that backpack around behind you anymore. You're not carrying that baggage and feeling like, oh, woe is me. Life would be so much better if this or that hadn't happened. You can say, life is wonderful because all of these things happened and I was able to use absolute forgiveness to completely absolve and forgive this person and to still love them.
Right, and we even end up saying thank you, right?
Oh, absolutely, yes. And to be very grateful that they came into our lives. One of the things that I like to talk to my students about, and I don't think that it's something that people think about very often, when somebody does something that feels hurtful or harmful, especially if it's a big thing. You know, if somebody just tells you a little lie or something, that's, you know, not fun. But if it's something that's really a big change in your life because this person has turned out not to be the person that you think they are or whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
I think that each of us forgets how much that other person is suffering in their life for them to appear in that form.
Exactly, yeah.
And the compassion that that allows us to have for them is a gift for ourselves as well as for them and for the whole world, because we want to remember that we as co-creators with God, we affect mm-hmm. everything. We affect every person that we think about, talk to, have any activity with. That affects the whole. That affects everybody.
Yeah.
So every time that we are able to experience absolute forgiveness for someone, not only are we affecting ourselves and them, we also affect the whole, or as I like to call it, the divine hologram.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone receives the mm-hmm. benefit of that absolute forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. Yes, totally agree.
I'm sorry, what?
No, it's okay. Tell me. You were saying something.
What I was going to say is that's why in the absolution ritual that we're going to do tonight, at the end, when you're finished with the issue or the person or whatever it is that, that the person, you know, the listeners want to absolve, then together we absolve all. We absolve the world, the solar system, the universe, the omniverse, the hologram. Everything is absolved of any wrongdoing so that we don't see it from that standpoint anymore, because, you know, in reality, we're the only, each one of us can say, I'm the only one that's important in my life, because that's true. I'm the only one I can change. I'm the only one I can control. I'm the only one whose frame of reference I can actually create.
Mm-hmm.
So when we want to see something differently, that's what Gandhi meant when he said, be the change you want to see in the world. He didn't
mm-hmm.
mean, you know, go out and make sure that you take an apple pie to the guy next door. What he meant was, be it so that you can see it, because you can't see it if you're not being it.
Exactly, yes. So, yes, you were saying, I'm sorry.
Well, it's important for people to realize that it's easy to talk about being the creator of your own world. It's easy to say, oh, yeah, I understand. I make it all happen. And my
mm-hmm.
question is, do you really understand that? Do you really understand that the way you see the world, the way you see life, is actually making it happen? And then someone might say, well, I can't do anything to stop the wars. well, not single-handedly are you going to stop all the wars today, but the fact that you pay attention or get upset, I mean, just, you know, looking at it is one thing, but getting upset about it and getting emotional about it creates more chaos and adds to the energy that is creating the war versus holding everyone that is involved in those wars in a state of absolute forgiveness, no matter mm-hmm. who they are or what they're doing. Then mm-hmm. we fix the world.
Right. It was just something I was talking to some students also, and I had just wrote a note about. It has something to do with what you just said, because each time we do something, we recreate ourselves. We recreate who we are. And it would be wonderful if we could recreate consciously always. So that what you that which you just said, which is observing what is it that we're doing, how is it that we are reacting to the things that happen around us, it could really make a big change. Because if everybody did that, then the energy around us would be really, really different to what it is being right now. So forgiving, for example, could help everybody understand that it's not only about us, you know, we have a relation with everything that exists around us. And when we forgive somebody, we are acknowledging that all these people have something to do with us, and they are actually suffering when they have to work on an agreement that we previously set for each other. So they are not having fun either. So that's what you talk about, compassion, yes?
Yes, definitely. And this is one of the things that I teach in my MetaU courses, and when I'm working one-on-one, in my courses you get material, and then each week we get together through Skype or on the telephone, and we work through the material. And what I'm teaching is that every little activity in your life, every little viewpoint you have, the way you fix breakfast, the way you take care of your children, the way you go to work, the way you drive your car, the way you shop for groceries, the way you read a book, all of this, every moment has an impact on all of us. It mm-hmm. isn't possible to say, well, how could I be having any impact on the whole when all I do is, you know, do my job at the McDonald's hamburger joint, or go to my job behind a desk, or take care of children, or teach class in a kindergarten. You know, if however people see themselves as being small, they are taking away from themselves their capacity, the self-worth of realizing that absolutely every breath of every moment creates the next piece of the future for themselves, for everyone in their environment, and for the whole. And the decision mm-hmm. point is in every single moment. So it doesn't make any difference how little it is as far as, you know, your mind is saying, oh, I'm just this little person in this little town, in this little country doing whatever. That isn't true. You are God in form in a physical body creating more for the whole with every breath. So what do you
right.
want the whole experience?
Right. So when you do not acknowledge yourself, you're kind of hindering a part of the whole, right?
Yes, yes. You're not. It's just like realizing that the whole is the same as the person that you say you love the most, be that your child, your husband, your wife, your partner, your parents, whoever it is that you have this great loving devotion for. Replace them with the whole, meaning all that is, all beings. How do you want them to experience? Just like you would give the very best of yourself to this person that you love so much, how are you going to give yourself to the whole so that it can experience your love as well?
Mm-hmm.
And that's always the question. And that's
mm-hmm.
the impact that we are capable of making on the world.
Mm-hmm. So why do you think it is so hard for us to forgive?
I think, well, now you're going to get me on one of my soapboxes, and I'm not sure. the audience necessarily wants to hear my soapbox, because I'm a very compassionate person, and I have very little patience with people who refuse to move out of a victim state. If a person says to me, this is the way it always is, and I can't make it go away, and we try and work with it, and they won't budge, I'm gone. I just say, well, I love you, and you can figure it out, because you already know. Each of us knows. Each of us completely and absolutely knows in our deepest heart of hearts when we're playing games with ourselves, and that's what I think we're doing when we don't forgive. Mm-hmm. So-and-so did this to me, and I am so right, and I am so knowing of everything that should be, and this other person is so wrong, and I will never forgive them, because I am so right. Okay, great. Now let's sit down and talk about that for a minute. How do you know that you're so right? It's just because there's a certain thing that you want, and you want it to be a certain way, and I don't mean you personally, I'm talking globally, you, everyone. You know, there's things we want in a certain way. We want to control things. We want things to be a certain way. I like my dinner served this way, and I like my dishes done that way, and I drive my car in this way, and this is the right way because it's right for me. It's got to be right for everybody else, and that's not true.
Exactly.
So when we allow ourselves to, I like to use the word surrender because that scares everybody to death, when you allow yourself to surrender to the fact that you are right and the other person is right for them to the best of their ability, remember this. All the listeners, remember this. Everyone who is doing something in your life, whether it be with you or to you, is doing the very best they know how to do in that moment. If they
right,
knew how to do better, they would do better. Nobody does less than they could do. Everybody does the very best they can do.
And and it's very important to note that because, you know, we all live in a time frame. So whatever we're doing now is really the best we can do now. And probably the next second we might be able to do something different because we already experienced what we already did, you know. But in that particular moment, what you say is true. You know, we really have to understand that whatever we do at whatever point is the best we could do at that moment. That's why we did it.
Exactly.
So that takes me...
Remembering that everyone acts to make themselves feel better.
Right.
It's part of the animal part of us, if you would, the reptilian brain. Everything that a person does is done so that they will feel better about themselves in some way. No one does anything to make themselves feel worse.
Yeah. Yes, and that has to do with our always looking for things to make us happy, actually. We always want to be happy. We just have to find a way to do it, you know? And sometimes that means making choices that minutes afterwards will prove to be choices that maybe we could do differently the next time, you know? But that takes me to my next question. Why do you think we feel that forgiving turns us into vulnerable people?
Could you ask me that question again, please?
Sure. Why do we feel that forgiveness or forgiving turns us into vulnerable people?
Oh, because we don't have the stimulation from our adrenaline glands that makes us... feel like we are going to set ourselves up for a fight. One of the things that happens to us chemically when we feel that someone is doing something to harm us is that our brain, part of our brain turns off. And there's a part in our brain called the amygdala. And the job of the amygdala is to tell us to either fight or run. And sometimes it's referred to as a fight-or-flight response. I'm either going to run away from this because it's bad and it's going to hurt me, or I'm going to stand here and I'm going to fight it. And this came into its evolution back in the days when we were fighting the saber-toothed tiger and, you know, running away from the woolly mammoth.
Right, when we were living in Africa.
Right, exactly. So So those pieces of our body are still in place. Those pieces are still active. And we don't have the woolly mammoth and the saber-toothed tiger. We have traffic. We have bosses. We have multitasking. We have ways to do various technical things. And so when something happens that makes us feel stressed, anxious, worried, angry, fearful, the fight-flight response comes into effect. So then we're either going to stand there and make our point and fight, or we're going to withdraw and we're going to go away. Like a lot of people say, I just ignore it, I just withdraw, I just go away from it.
Mm-hmm.
When we say that we're going to surrender to this moment and we are going to neither fight it nor are we going to run from it, we are simply going to love it. The animal part of us feels like it's going to die. We're afraid. So we're responsible as consciously aware human beings is to take a step up in our consciousness and say, I'm aware of how I'm feeling in my physical form, and as the spiritual being, I can still hold this place, and I do not have to fight, and I do not have to run. I can hold this moment in the sacred love of knowing that I am God in form, and I don't have to act as the animal self.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a big step for a lot of people because there aren't any schools or religions or teachings that teach that in the conventional world. It's in the spiritual movement. It's in various Eastern philosophies. But in the Western world, in the conventional mass consciousness, that idea does not exist.
Mm-hmm. So that's why many people here think that forgiving is actually a sign of weakness.
Yes, exactly. I would never do that. How could that person do that to me? I'm going to stand up and defend myself. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Go for it. But where did you get after you defended yourself? You didn't really get any place. You're still where you were. The person is still doing what they're doing, and you're still feeling affronted. And yet you can
right, and
it.
That yes, and that takes us to resentment, right? Which is what is the relation between forgiveness and resentment?
Well, to resent, when you're resenting something, then you're believing that your truth, your reality, your sense of rightness is the only one that exists. And what's really important for us to remember is that all of our perceptions are subjective. There is no such thing as objective reality. That's a term that doesn't mean
mm-hmm.
anything. You cannot be objective because everything
mm-hmm.
that you're looking at, everything that you see, everything that you think about is colored by your life experiences.
Right, it's all a projection from ourselves.
Yes, exactly. So when you begin to resent a person because they're doing this or that, what you're saying is, I know how to be better than that person does, and I resent them trying to make me see it differently, or I resent the way they treat me, or whatever it is you're resenting, because you believe that you know better. And all you know
mm-hmm.
is for yourself. You can't know for them, too. What you can do, and this is another thing I teach my students, is when you get into these places that are bigger than a bread box, as my mother would say, that are just like, what do I do now? Stay in the question. Don't put forth your idea of what is right or wrong. Ask the other person why they believe they're right.
Mm-hmm.
And when they give you an answer, ask them another question. And when they give you an answer, ask them another question. Don't
mm-hmm.
put forth your belief because you don't even know what the other person is really thinking, feeling. All you're hearing is their words based upon what you believe is true. So they're already colored as they come into your mind. Start asking
mm-hmm.
the other person questions and find out where they're coming from, and you're in for a really big surprise. You'll find out
mm-hmm.
you didn't know that person at all. It's just what
mm-hmm.
you think is going on with that person. I had a great experience just the other night at a dinner where I was talking about a new law in the state of Washington, and somebody said to me, you sound very critical. And I said, critical? I'm not being critical. I'm simply stating it the way it is. But then the conversation at the table kind of took its own head, and I didn't get to finish talking. So after dinner, I went to this woman who had said that, and I said, we didn't really get to talk about what you wanted to talk about here, so let's do that now. you said you thought I was being critical. Why did you say that? She said, because when people are being critical, they feel like they're being abused. And I said,
right,
really?
They feel they're the victims, yes.
And I said, I don't think that being critical is a feeling of abuse. And to her, if you're critical, you're feeling abused. To me, if a person is critical, there's a lot of reasons for being critical. You might have expertise in the field. You might have had some experience with something. I mean, I don't know why a person is being critical, but it certainly, to me, does not mean abuse. But to her, it does. And then we were in a totally different place. And I said, well, tell me about this abuse. What's this about? And she's had all this abuse in her life. So we never know what a person is really saying when they're talking to us. And if we take umbrage and if we start resenting it, we're assuming we know. No, we don't. So that's why I always teach my students, stay in the question. Always just stay in the question. And pretty soon people will think you're the best conversationalist in the world because all you do is ask people to talk about themselves, and they love to talk about themselves, so they will. And yet you get to find out what the person really means rather than going into a state of resentment or the inability to forgive what you think is some great umbrage against you.
So one of the questions that usually people ask also is, why is it so hard to forgive ourselves for doing something, you know, guilt and everything that, that has to do with it?
I think that that's our cultures. I think it's the way we're brought up. I think it has to do with the way we're parented and the way our schools are constructed and our religions. And I would say heavily on the religious side, because the religions that exist on earth today, for the most part, not all of them, but for the most part, make people feel like they are worthless. You are a sinner. Like, I was raised a Catholic, so as far as Catholic is concerned, You're always in sin. I mean, you can't get out of sin. You can try all you want, but you're even the thought of trying to get out of sin is a sin. I mean, you're just stuck. So all of the religions teach people to feel worthless. I have a student who is someone who studied some Islam, and it made a big impact on him. And so he's having some self-worth issues because of the way that's constructed. You can think of the Protestant religions. I would say probably the Eastern philosophies are probably the closest to being a little bit more open, but they don't even really call themselves religions. So if you just think about the regular religions that most people belong to on earth right now, God is good, you are bad, and everything that you're doing means that you need to be redeemed. Well, this sets up, and then, of course, your parents reinforce that, and then the school reinforces that. And so pretty soon people just have no place to go, no matter how hard they try to be good, quote, unquote. They feel that they never can, so they lose the ability to love themselves because they just see themselves as worthless. And I think that through opening your awareness to your consciousness as source or God or all that is or whatever you want to call it, and realizing that we are the source of all in physical form, you begin to realize that you have an opportunity to love God with all your heart by loving yourself. You have been created, even if you have a religion that you adhere to strongly and you want to say, well, you know, that's great, but I want to be a Catholic or I want to be a Protestant or I want to be whatever I am. Great. That means that God created you in his image. Then you have the opportunity to love that image because God created it. And when people step away from that and they don't want to love that, then they're stepping away from God. And that's what I talk about in my absolute forgiveness and the absolution ritual is the fact that absolving someone else, you have to absolve yourself as well. Forgiving someone else, you have to forgive yourself as well because you took part in the interaction. It's two God beings doing this dance together. And then you can love yourself because, as the old phrase goes, the Master Jesus said, who was a great guy, love your neighbor as yourself. You can't love your neighbor as yourself if you don't love yourself first. you can't give something to someone that you don't have. So you can't say to someone, yes, I love you more than myself. Impossible. You have to love yourself first, fully, completely. Then you can love somebody else.
Right. So would you say there are any limits to forgiveness? Is there anything we shouldn't forgive?
Is there anything we should not forgive? Is that what you said?
Yes.
No, there's nothing, because, and this is like my little catchphrase, only through absolution can you reach the absolute, meaning absolute meaning God. If you put anything between you and God, if there's anything that you say, I won't forgive that, then you're putting that between you and God, because God is everything, right? And if somebody says,
right.
Well, no, God isn't everything, then I say, well, then what is the other part? And you can't get away from the fact that if we're going, and this is, of course, if you want to have this belief system, somebody else might say, well, I don't want that belief system. Well, that's fine, too. Then do whatever you want to do. But if God is everything, if God created everything, and we're using the word God here because we need to use a word. You can put any word in there you want to. I like to use source a lot because it means the source of everything. If source is the source of all, then that means everything is made of source, everything is within source, and nothing is outside of source. So if there's one part of source that you say, I won't forgive that is bad, then you're saying that part of God I don't want to be part of. I don't want to have anything to do with that part of God over there.
Mm-hmm.
And you're separating yourself from that part of source consciousness.
Which also happens when we have prejudices, right?
Yes, exactly. Which doesn't mean that we can't have desires or discernments or whatever. You know, like I like coconut applesauce cookies a heck of a lot better than I like peanut butter ones.
But that's
nothing
just
wrong
a preference.
With that.
Yeah, because
preference.
That's just a preference.
But I'm certainly not going to put anybody down because they like peanut butter cookies.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they prefer. So it's what you, as the individual, prefer in your life, what you decide is going to serve you, make you happy, etc., and letting everyone else make the same decision without having a bias about whether they should or shouldn't.
Right. So what would you say to all those people that don't believe in God?
It's okay. It doesn't make any difference if you believe in it or not. It created you, whatever. Something created you. Something made you be. Somehow you came into existence. And you can't get away from that. And eventually, you'll find out what that is. It doesn't have to be the same way I see it. It doesn't have to be my vocabulary. It doesn't have to be my belief system. Nothing. I don't care. Because eventually, the consciousness within that being, however they see the world, even if it's somebody that says, and there are people like this, there is no God. I'm just here through evolution, and I'm going to die and be put in the ground, and it's going to be black, and that'll be the end of me. Okay.
Because the only thing that exists is now.
Yes. Okay. That's what you believe, and that's okay. What do you want to do to make yourself happy now? I don't really care what you believe. And let's agree on this. If you ever find out that it's different for you than the way you're thinking about it now, would you come back and tell me? Tell me what you've discovered. That's all. That's all I would say. I mean, I don't care. I know what serves me. I know where I've been. I know what I know. Because I'm not a person who believes things. I don't believe things are a certain way. If I haven't experienced them, then for me they're not real. And I do know what the experiences of my life have created for me, and the experiences of my childhood and what I remember and what happens in my life because I know what I know. So for me, that reality is the only thing that I need to be concerned about. It doesn't make any difference what anybody else thinks.
Right.
Everybody
so
has the
do
right
you
to feel
think
however
that
they want to.
right so do you think that forgiveness means forgetting what happened?
Does forgiveness mean forgetting? No, not at all. And I don't think that we do forget. But I do know from my own life that if we completely forgive, and that's what absolute forgiveness is, if we completely forgive, then we get a different viewpoint on what happened. And when we look at it, or you can say look back at it, because it's usually in the past, we have an invitation to look at it in a totally different way. And to see why that happened, what that person was attempting to achieve for themselves, whatever it is that we need to forgive. You know, a lot of people that I talk with have issues about the way they were raised in an abusive life, or parents that were distant and not loving, or alcoholic or abusive in some form.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to remind them what those people must have experienced as children themselves to have grown up to be that kind of a parent. So when we, and a person can either hear those words or not. If they're still stuck in the look what happened to me frame of mind, then they're probably not going to hear them very deeply. But when you get to a place when you can really forgive and absolve and realize that those people, using that example, your parents loved you to the very best that they possibly could, and that if they did something that was damaging to you, they are probably very damaged themselves, then we get to see our parents or the person who is affronting you in a completely different way.
Mm-hmm.
And so it isn't about forgetting. It's about reframing the way we remember.
Mm-hmm. So if we forgive everything, right. So if we forgive whatever happened in our lives, if we forgive everything that hurt us in our life, how can we do so that those people who hurt us don't do it again?
Well, this is always the discernment part. There are some people who are not going to stop doing things that are that appear hurtful. And each person in their own lives, as they're forgiving and absolving the person, then has an opportunity to say to that person, I am forgiving you, and I don't want to live with you anymore. I don't want to work for you anymore. I don't want to be in this set of circumstances with you anymore because you've chosen to continue this kind of behavior. If you choose different behavior, we'll talk about it later when you've made those choices, and I know that those choices are real. But for now, I'm not going to be in the same environment that you're in. And that's where we take control of our own lives and at the same time not have resentment, not be mad or angry or fearful, but simply love these people for who they are and walk away.
Mm-hmm.
And let whatever they're going to do, let them, they're going to do it whether you're there or not. They're going to be who they are, but you don't have to be in the same environment.
Mm-hmm.
Remove yourself from that environment.
And what about having somebody who we are constantly forgiving for what that person is doing, but we still have to maybe live with that person or work with that person because there's no way to get out at that moment?
That's not true. There's never no way to get out.
Mm-hmm.
I would challenge that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that people believe they can't get out because they don't want to take the steps to change their life because it's too scary.
Right. Then what happens to those who choose not to forgive?
Nothing happens to them. They just sit in their own stew. And that's one of the reasons that a lot of people have heart attacks. Because your heart knows. Your heart, and I teach, all of my teaching and my courses are all centered on the heart, and scientifically as well as from the standpoint of the sacred heart, but also why the heart does what it does in our bodies. And your heart knows, it's the voice of your soul, and it knows what is, quote-unquote, best for you. If you decide that you're going to remain in a certain situation or you're just not going to forgive and you're going to be really angry all the time, the heart's only going to be able to put up with this for so long, and then eventually something's going to happen, or something's going to happen with your body. A lot of people will say, well, I always have, you know, I have fibromyalgia, I have, this chronic stress condition, I've got this or that. Well, let's look at life. What's going on in your life? That you're putting mm-hmm. yourself in a position where the only thing your body can do is to cause you pain to tell you that you're in the wrong place, that you're doing something that is not conducive to thriving for you. The only way our body can talk to us is to make us hurt. If we are not hurting, then we feel good and we just keep doing what we're doing. But if something is not appropriate for us, then our body's going to say something. And a person who stays in a not forgiving state and is constantly finding things to get irritated about or stressed or angry or fearful is going to create physical reactions in their body.
Mm-hmm.
And end up either going to a doctor and getting medication or doing whatever they do, but eventually your body's going to talk.
Got it. Okay, so we had talked about maybe sharing your absolute forgiveness ritual with the people that are listening. Would you like to do that now?
I would love to do that. Love to do that.
Wonderful.
So I'm going to turn on my recorder for everyone who's listening. I'm going to be recording this particular ritual. I already have it on my website, but every time I do it, it's different. So I'm going to record this rendition of it and make a movie out of it, which will be on YouTube eventually within the next month or so. So are we ready to begin? Are we good?
Yes, we are.
I'll turn on my recorder. The first thing I would like everyone to do is to think about a person or a situation that you would like to absolutely forgive. And when I say absolutely forgive, what I am meaning is you're going to change your viewpoint so that you no longer see it as right or wrong. Rather, you're going to see it as simply having had an experience with that person. So I'm going to walk you through the steps of absolving something or someone you believe you could not possibly forgive, knowing that within absolution is the knowing that you each simply had an experience, and that is all. So choose your subject. Know that we are not only going to absolve this person, we are going to experience the feelings that create the belief that this person, the situation, is unforgivable, that you can't absolve it. So choose your subject and now come with me. First, I want you to take some nice big breaths to relax. Let your shoulders drop. Let your stomach drop. Let your mouth kind of go slack. Don't try and hold yourself in. Just breathing naturally, relaxing. And now I want you to see yourself standing in a big green field, green grass all around, beautiful wildflowers everywhere. The sun is shining. It's a warm, perfect day. The air temperature is absolutely perfect for this moment. Then start thinking about the person that you're going to forgive, that you're going to absolve. And as you are thinking of this person, you realize that this person is walking toward you now, this person that you cannot forgive or absolve. They're walking through the meadow right to you. And as they are, stop right now and feel how you are feeling. What feeling keeps you from absolving this person? Really feel what it feels like. Don't pull away from it. Let yourself really feel it completely in your body. It is part of you. allow it, accept it. Experience all of the feelings you have about this person who is walking toward you. And now they are there, right in front of you. So reach out and take their hand. How does that feel? How does it feel to take their hand? Feel it in every cell of your body. Feel their hand. The two of you are going to begin walking through the field together now. And all of a sudden in front of you, off in the distance, you see a beautiful golden light. It's so bright. It's almost overpowering. All you want to do is become one with it. Both of you are seeing this big golden ball of light. You're walking toward it. And as you do, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger until all you can see is the golden light. And then you see an entranceway. It's right in front of you. You can take this person through this entrance. Start walking through this doorway now. Feel how it feels to walk through this entranceway with this person. Both of you walking into the golden light together. Feel all of your feelings. Don't pull away. There's no shame, there's no judgment. There's only feeling. Let yourself really feel it. You are walking into the golden light with this person who is unforgivable, holding their hand, walking together. This moment is going to change you both forever. And now you are inside this enormous circle of light. So sit down right there on the green grass, face to face. Have them sit across from you. Get real comfortable. Cross your legs. Do whatever you need to do to really feel comfortable together, sitting there in the green grass in the middle of this golden light. How does it feel? How does it feel to sit in the golden light on the grass with this person? Look at them easily, knowing there is nothing else to do except be together. How does that feel? Just feel it. And now I want you to take a big breath and imagine an enormous fountain of golden light pouring down from the heavens into the crown of your head, filling you with golden light down through your neck, your shoulders, your arms, your hands, your body, down through your torso, your legs, your feet. The golden light of all that is filling you as you absolve yourself from wrong. There is nothing but experience. There is no wrongdoing. You are golden light. Now gaze into the eyes of the person in front of you and fill the crown of their head with this golden fountain of light, filling their body from the crown of their head down through their neck, their shoulders, their arms, their hands, down through their torso, into their legs, down through their feet. So there is nothing but golden light in front of you. I have absolved my sin. And now I absolve you of all error. We have had nothing but experience together. You are nothing but golden light. I am nothing but golden light. Two balls of golden light sitting together. And once you have completed this, merge yourself with them. Beautiful beings of golden light, embraced in the light, no longer sitting across from each other, but merged as one. Become one with them so that all you see, feel, hear, smell, experience is the light of the true source, the source from which you were created. That source that the earth hungers to experience and feel. The two of you, absolutely forgiven, absolutely absolved, one life being merged together. And now within the center of the golden ball of light, there is only one life. Stretch that light out all around the earth, the two of you as one, filling the earth with that golden light, embracing it, creating a grid that is nothing but peace, compassion, love, and appreciation, filling the earth with the golden light that you are as one. Then extend it out into the solar system, out past the sun, out into the planets, past the planets into the universe, and on into infinity, knowing that the two of you have absolved each other from any experience of wrongdoing, from any pain, from any hurt. And that you have brought this experience to the earth, solar system, earth, the omniverse, all that is. Two beings merged as one, absolving all. Are ready, bring your consciousness back to this time, this place, this moment, knowing that you are free, knowing that in the oneness of all that is.
Wow, that was really wonderful, Tony. That was an amazing ritual.
Thank you.
It's really an amazing thing that you just shared with us. I'm very grateful and very honored to be able to have you here with us today. I have six people in the switchboard who would like to talk to you, but unfortunately we're out of time. So maybe what we can do is set up another date to just take the call. Maybe that would be possible going on going forward.
That would be fine.
Okay. Okay, wonderful. Again, I want to thank you very much for what you just did, for being here with us. It has been a wonderful show, and send you all my blessings. It really, really touched my heart, so thank you very much. I'm sure all the people who's listening is as happy and is feeling as great as I'm doing right now.
Wonderful. It was wonderful to be with you and to be with everyone else as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tony. We will be talking again soon then.
Good. Thank you. Good night.
Thank you. Big hug. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.